maybe hit home a little bit as we look at the Mark of the Beast this Sunday at HBC 9 and 11. All right, and don't forget, we're super excited. We got a baptism after we eat. And, you know, it's a great thing to be there to witness when people are making the proclamation to be baptized. It's a great way to encourage those who are being baptized and to be encouraged. So let me just encourage you to stick around for that. Let me pray real quick. Father God, Lord, we just thank you so much. And now, Lord, as we dive into your word, as we contemplate your love and mercy, as we think about your truths, may it penetrate our hearts, each and every one of us. May we really take into consideration the things we will look at today. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've entitled our message, Happy Resurrection Day. Go figure. But before we start, sometimes I like to do this. I like to get your juices flowing, your brain going, because listen, sometimes at 10 o'clock in the morning, we're not, you know, maybe you haven't had enough coffee. So I want to get you your brain going. So I'm going to give you some things to ponder. First of all, why is it that we squint at the sun because it's bright and we squint at people when they're not? Here's a thought. Isn't beef jerky just cow raisins? People in cars sometimes cause accidents, and accidents in cars sometimes cause people. What were you thinking? Why do people pay money to go way up on tall buildings and then put money in binoculars to see the things that are down on the ground? I like to stand on the ground, and when they're looking down, I like to show them all the money in my pocket. Why do ashes turn white on black pants and turn black on white pants? Is there some kind of... Here, last one. If you didn't know what a chicken was and you ordered chicken fingers, you would think they were massive. Just some things to ponder. Now that I've got your brain juices flowing, how about 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 through 19. Paul tells us that the resurrection is essential to our faith. Verse 12. If Christ is preached that he has been risen from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and our faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God because we testify of God that he raised Christ up, whom he did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, then our faith is futile and we are still in our sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. And so the fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ is risen. And we do not preach in vain. But here's the thing. As we come to Resurrection Sunday, Easter is often what is most common. People go, you know, Easter. Everybody accepts Easter. Why? Because Easter seems comfortable. You know, you got eggs. You got chocolate. Everybody gets, all the kids get dressed up and they look so cute. But Resurrection Day has nothing to do with the 6-foot rabbit. Not at all. It isn't about little bunnies and eggs in a basket. Even, ladies, even if those eggs are chocolate, sorry. Listen, rabbits die, but Jesus is alive. A 6-foot rabbit is creepy, but Jesus is holy. Rabbit's feet aren't lucky, but the name of Christ is a blessing. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, some people say, well, you know what? I'm not going to. Oh, yes, you are. Well, not me. Oh, yes, you are. Listen, here's some proof, and we'll really explore this on Sunday. But listen, if you're a person that if you lose a job, if you lose a relationship, if you can't pay your bills, you're freaking out. I promise you, when the Antichrist comes, he will have you on your knees. And when you stand before the living, loving, powerful, almighty God, you will be on your knees, even if you hate him. Even demons will fall before Jesus Christ. And so here we are today proclaiming Happy Resurrection Day. Why? Because we can be joyful that Jesus Christ is risen. Listen, life isn't happenstance. It's not luck. Oftentimes people will ask, well, what's the meaning of life? In fact, people try to tweet what the meaning of life is. And it's so contradictory. One person says to be happy in love. Another one says to die a slow death. One says there is no meaning. Another says, well, just keep on keeping on. One says, well, you only have one life to live. You only live once, YOLO. Another person says, life is for everyone. And then someone else says, living isn't for everybody. One says, fulfill your dreams. And the other one says, life is nothing but tears and nothing but more tears. Listen, there are so many contradictory ideas of what life is. The meaning of life is, and I'm here to tell you, there is one meaning of life, and that's he who created life, Jesus Christ. Now, you can deny it, pobrecito, or pobrecita, depending on your... One person said this, life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. I'm sorry, what does that mean? These are just empty platitudes. People just say things. Everyone wants to be a philosopher. But so sad. The sad part is our philosophies are empty. Listen, let me give you the words of Pascal, a French mathematician. He was a philosopher. He laid the foundation for modern theory of possibilities. This is his brain at work. Now, he became a very, very staunch Christian. But listen to what he said. Listen to the fear in this man's writing, because he understands. When I consider the short duration of my life swallowed up in the eternity that lies before and after, when I consider the little space I fill and I see engulfed in the infinite immensity of space of which I am ignorant and which know me not, I rest frightened and astonished. For there is no reason why I should be here rather than there, why now rather than then. Who put me here? By whose order and direction have this place and time been ascribed to me? You see, why are you here? Do you think it's a coinkadink that you're here this morning to hear this message? I'm here to tell you there's no such thing. God is sovereign. But Pastor Randy, that's a philosopher from the 1600s. What about today? Well, what about today? Let me show you. Okay, how many of you have heard of Jordan Peterson? Any of you? One. Okay, a couple of you. Let me tell you. Brilliant, brilliant mind. Professor of psychology at the University of Toronto. Clinical psychologist, actually. Very popular on YouTube. Very deep thinker. Well, he's also an atheist. However, God has been working on this man's heart, and just a couple of weeks ago, he was in an interview, and I'm going to play that interview for you here in just a moment, and you're going to listen to him as he begins to struggle with the idea of Jesus, and he has to fight back the tears. Watch this. How do you like that? He's having dreams of Jesus. But he's still fighting it. I get that. There was a time when I was fighting Christ. I would cry and say, no, I don't want that, but I'd be crying. Why? Because God was chipping away at my hard heart, but I was too stubborn and stupid to give in. I'm so glad I did. But do you notice he said, it's, praise the Lord, it's too terrifying a reality to believe. You know what's more terrifying? To not believe and fall under God's judgment. And brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that it is soon that the church will be gone. Now, there's a cool poem. Listen to the angst in this poem. I've tried in vain 1,000 ways, my fears to quell, my hope to raise. But all I need, the Bible says, is Jesus. My soul is night, my heart is steel. I cannot see, I cannot feel. For life, for light, I must appeal to Jesus. He died, he lives, he reigns, he pleads. There's love in all his words and all his deeds. All in all, the guilty sinner, all in all, the guilty sinner needs is Jesus. Though some may mock, some will blame, but in spite of my fears, in spite of the shame, I will go to him because his name, his love, his forgiveness are more than enough. It's everything. Oh, that's so good. Listen, that is the battle. It's not easy coming to Jesus. It's not easy. I know. Hardcore atheist, drug addict, alcoholic, pothead. It was not easy for me to give up what my flesh wanted in order to do what my spirit needed. But I had no peace. And there was this constant struggle. And there were times that I cried. And there was times that I was angry. But then, that one day I realized, I gotta stop being afraid of the one who loves me. Jordan Peterson needs, you need, we need the truth. That's why in John 8:32 it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right now, if you don't have Christ, you are a slave. The truth, the Lord Jesus Christ is the meaning of life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only peace. The Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope. I love what Chuck Swindoll says. He says this: the devil, darkness, and death may swagger and boast. The pangs of life will sting for a little while, but don't worry. The forces of evil are breathing their last breath. Don't worry. He is risen. Once again, Easter is about the resurrection. The resurrection is about Jesus Christ being alive, alive and in love with you. Why? I don't know. He loves me too. And I look at him like, really, God? And he goes, yeah, really. But I do this and I do that and I think this. And he goes, yeah, I know. But I can use you if you just surrender your heart to me, and then I will bless you. I go, okay. It's a foundation. The foundation is to believe in Jesus. And from that point, once you believe in Jesus, it's all uphill from there. Now, uphill isn't always easy. But man, the view. The view is spectacular. Listen, I don't know today, you're here, I don't know what you think of Jesus, but here's what C.S. Lewis said in the book Mere Christianity, a must read. I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claims to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. a man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher if he was merely a man. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be a devil of hell. You must make a choice. Either a man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You cannot shut him up for a fool. You can spit on him and kill him as a demon. You can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God, but let us not come to any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. So you can't say, oh, Jesus taught great things. Well, then if you believe that, then you must believe that he was God. Why? Because he taught that too. So either he's a nutcase or he's God encased in human flesh. It's one or the other. Well, I don't want to make a decision. Then you have made a decision. Napoleon Bonaparte, go look up his quotes. I love his quotes. Listen what he says. The nature of Christ exists is a mystery. I admit, but this mystery meets the wants of men. Reject it and the world is an inexplicable riddle. Believe it, and the history of our race is satisfactorily explained. The meaning of life is found in the creator of life. The creator of life came to save the life he created through his death, burial, and resurrection. It's a transformation. And that's why he says in Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Today, he's knocking on the door of your heart. All you have to do is open and let him in, and he will begin to change you. But Pastor Randy, I got too much baggage. That's right. He'll take your baggage. He does the cleaning. You don't do it. Well, Pastor, I got to clean up my life first. You never will. You can't on your own. I couldn't on my own. I still struggle. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Without Jesus, there is no hope. But Pastor Randy, I have hope. Oh, you do? Yeah. I hope I get a new job. I hope I get a new car, a new house. I hope I get a new girlfriend or boyfriend. I got hope. Yeah, those aren't hopes. Those are wants. Why? Because you can get that job and then lose it. Then what? No more hope. Get that car and it breaks down. Uh-oh, no more hope. Get that house, get that girlfriend, lose a loved one, lose your health. Listen, those are things that we put hope in that are temporary. But Jesus Christ is eternal. Prove it. Well, I don't know. Jesus Christ never built a church, never went to seminary, never wrote a book. He didn't write a book. Yet he has changed the history of the world through 12 bumbling, fumbling idiots like me. Only God could do that. He never fought a war. He never had a kingdom. He never had a castle. Yet he has been more impactful than any other human being in the history of all humanity. Why? Because he wasn't just a human being. And you know what we do? We sometimes like to put our emphasis in the wrong place. I'll give you an example. I remember one time I wanted to go to the movies with my kids. I said, all right, we're going to go to the movies. Be ready. And wouldn't you know it, we were late. And I went in to look and see what was going on. Why are we late? And there were my two daughters putting fingernail polish on. Now, I wouldn't have been so mad, except we're going to go sit in the dark. No one will notice. But I go, okay. So I went over to get a little closer to see what color nail polish they were using. And they were painting their nails with clear. Dad, we like to shine. Well, I like to shine too, but you know, I think we could achieve this goal by simply going to the movies and ordering popcorn with extra butter, hold the napkins. Look, honey, I got shine. I can actually watch the movie through the shine on my nails, and it's delicious. Can your nail polish? Listen, we, in the dark, we often are shining the wrong things, thinking it makes a difference. But listen, we clearly can't see the truth. What are you spending your time trying to build? Your castle of dirt? Ecclesiastes said this, you could be a hard worker in labor and build a fortune, and then you die and leave it to a fool. It happens all the time. So in Ecclesiastes, the writer Solomon's, he's struggling with, what is it all about? And I love Johnny Cash. He does a remake of the Nine Inch Nails songs, and he says, listen, you can have my kingdom of dirt. Because that's all it is. Build a house and a car. The car will rust. Eventually, the house will be torn down. Someone will also get it when you die. They may not take care of it. And what was all of that toiling? You're running after some prize that will never, ever, ever attain. And then if you die without Christ, oh, man. Albert Einstein. Saturday Evening Post, October 26, 1929. George Weyrich asked him this. You accept the historical existence of Jesus? Einstein, unquestionably. No one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life. How different, for instance, is the impression which we receive from the account of legendary heroes of iniquity like Theseus. Theseus and other heroes of his type lack the authentic vitality of Jesus. Yet, in all of that experiential feeling and understanding of Jesus, Einstein still didn't accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He's supposed to be brilliant? How stupid is that? To know, oh, he's vibrant, I read it and he's there, but I don't want him. What is that? So smart, he's stupid. I love that I'm so stupid, I'm smart. Jordan Peterson, man, I think the Lord is really working on his heart. Listen, if you are not a believer, please surrender today. And if you are a believer, okay, let's say you're a believer here today. So what? Hey, pastor, what do you mean, so what? Here's what I mean. John 15, verse 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it might bear more. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit in itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you may be my disciples. Listen, bearing fruit, it's not produce, it's reproduce. We are to be reproducing. We are to be sharing Christ. Listen, the people are going to get baptized today. They're going to be sharing Christ. That's their testimony for you. And that's why it's important to go watch them if you can. See, Jesus Christ being resurrection is the beginning of God's new project. Not just to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. May heaven may be on earth as it is in heaven. That's the idea. I'm going to read you a poem. It's been a while since I read it, but I want you to think about this, believer. And if you're not a believer, I want you to think about it. Let's just listen. It's called Friend. My friend, I stand in judgment now, but I feel that you're the blame somehow. On earth, we walk day by day, but never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but you never did tell the story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to him. Though we live together on the earth, you never told me of second birth. Now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things. That's true. I called you friend. I trusted you. But I learned now that it's too late. You could have kept me from this fate. I walked by day and we talked by night. Yet you showed me not the light. You let me live and love and die. You knew I wouldn't live on high. Yes, I called you friend in life. I trust you through the joy and strife, and yet on coming to this end, I cannot now call you my friend. How do you realize that people, if you're a believer and you know people who don't know Jesus, what are they going to think of you if they end up going to hell and they know that you could have told them? As they bow down before the living, loving Lord, and you're like, well, I didn't want to upset you. How upset do you think they're going to be when God brings judgment upon them? I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to win popularity contests. I'm here to tell you that you need Jesus and you need him today before it's too late. And you, brothers and sisters, you call yourself a Christian. Christian means Christ-like. The things you do and say, is that what Jesus would want you to do in his name? When no one's watching or when everyone's watching? See, that's what we have to think about here today. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for the God's wrath remains on him. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Yes. Not because you're a good person, but what did you do with Jesus? God's not going to say, hey, what'd you do? Oh, you helped some people? No, he's going to say, what did you do with my son? Did you accept him? Did you reject him? Did you bring him glory? Were you living for him? Isaiah 52:14, the New Living Translation. But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. In other words, his form was so marred, he didn't even look human. He did that for you and I. Jesus wasn't a victim, though. I want you to know that. He was not a victim. He went willfully because he loves you, because he cares about you. Zechariah 1:3. Therefore, tell all the people, this is what the Lord Mighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. See, God is waiting. He's proved that he loves you. He is waiting. All you have to do is turn to him. But Pastor Randy, I've fallen away so far. Listen, it only takes one step, and you're right back in his graces. He's not like you and I, where we have to earn trust. He just wants your love. That's it. That's it. See, when Jesus was on the cross and he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, every pedophile, every rapist, every adulterer, every drug dealer, every murderer, all their sins were being poured on Jesus. He had never experienced sin, but he took it so that you and I could have forgiveness. The cross paid the price. The empty tomb is the receipt. How awesome is that, right? Sin must be dealt with, either punished or pardoned. Which is going to be your plight? Are you going to be pardoned? Listen, you can't have flirtation with sin, because if you do, you're having a romance with the devil. That's not good. Too many people spend 6 days sowing their sin and spend 1 day in church praying that the crop doesn't come in. we can go wrong in so many directions, but we can only go one way to get it right, and that's towards Jesus Christ. And today is the day that we recognize he is risen. Today is the day that you and I can raise to a new, but it's your choice. You can walk out of here and not know God, but listen, when it comes judgment time, you have no excuse because you've heard the truth. Well, I didn't know he loved you. Pastor Randy told you. Yeah, but I wasn't listening. No, you didn't want to listen. Yeah, but I didn't believe it. Okay, well then, you made your choice. There's more evidence of Jesus Christ living and dying and resurrecting than George Washington being our president. Than Benjamin Franklin. And you know you want the Benjamins. But you don't want Jesus. Sad. Sad. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I'm going to ask that, wow, right now, this is a solemn moment. Because maybe the Lord's speaking to someone's heart today. I pray that it's your heart. I pray that today for you, this would be your eyes would be open and you'd come to see the beauty of Jesus Christ. Listen, Jesus Christ is risen. Why? He's coming for a bride, not a widow. He's risen. Soon, the Lord Jesus will return. Every pastor I know agrees we are living in that generation that is going to see the rapture. The question is, are you going to be left behind? Well, you know, Pastor, I think I'll just accept the Lord during the tribulation. Come next Sunday and see how you won't. But today, how do I become born again? You have to admit you're a sinner. We've all sinned, every single one of us. Know that God has already provided a way of salvation. Know that you cannot save yourself. I'm sorry, you can't. You can't. You can't. You can't even create a worm. Even if God gave you all the ingredients, no eyes, no hands, no spine, you can't do it. How are you going to save yourself? You have to repent of your sin, turn away from them, and turn towards the cross. And you can ask Jesus to come and save you. He's the only one. And you get to proclaim Jesus before others by coming forward when I give you that opportunity. Why would anybody turn away the beautiful free gift of Jesus Christ? All he did was love you. What's so wrong about that? Who doesn't want to be loved and forgiven? Well, I'll tell you, 90% of Americans don't want Jesus. They may just want religion. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to stand. You can go ahead and stand now. And if you need to come forward, if God is tugging on your heart, if you know that's me, Pastor Randy was talking about me, the Holy Spirit is moving in my life, that I need to change my stance today. I need to not be ashamed of Jesus Christ because he was not ashamed of me. I'm going to ask you that you come forward. Make a public proclamation that Jesus is yours and that you are his. So as the worship team sings this song, you come forward if you need to come forward. Go ahead. Listen, there are so many things that tend to keep us from coming forward. Our pride, what others may think of us. I just don't want to yet. I'm not ready. Listen, those are all excuses, and none of those are God. God says, come now. Come as you are, and I will clean up house. I will give you the strength. Just surrender your heart today. Listen, the Bible says that if one person surrenders their life, all of heaven rejoices. We're rejoicing with you when you come forward. So they're going to sing a little more. Listen, I know there are someone out there or someones that are fighting it right now. You know God's calling your name. You can fight it all you want. Listen, you're going to lose. You'll be on the losing team if you don't surrender. You're a loser. I'm just being honest. Or you can surrender today. Woo! Let's sing a little more. You come forward. You know who you are. It's so awesome to see tears of joy flooding the heart. We're in a pavilion and God's Spirit is here. Will you surrender? Listen, I'm going to make one more call. This is your chance. Anyone else want to come forward? You know it's you. You know you need to come forward. Yes, praise the Lord. Yes. Great. Yes. Anyone else? Don't fight it. Give in. The Lord loves you. He has a hope and a future for you, not of evil. Yes, awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Awesome. This is good. This is good. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Awesome. Praise the Lord. One more. There's someone. Come on. Just come forward. Quit fighting. Just come forward. Who else is there? Who else is there? Needs to surrender today. Needs that forgiveness. Needs that weight lifted off. Needs that assurance. Only Jesus. And today's the day. He's calling you. Anyone else? Awesome. Praise the Lord. Come on up, Pastor. Beautiful. Lord. Well, here's what we're going to do. And I want you to know this. Listen, you can still come up at any time while I'm talking if you need to come. Listen, the prayer that I'm going to pray, is just nothing magical about it. What makes it work is if you truly believe it, if you truly surrender to Christ today, repent of your sins, seek the Lord and say, you know what, I believe and I'm going to live like I believe. Today's the day. So I'm going to pray this. Church, you can pray this with me. It's always good to recommit, but say this prayer with me. Father God, I confess I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And His name is Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins to give me everlasting life. I love you, and I want to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to go with Howard. Howard, put your hand up. He's got some reading materials for you. We're not going to hold you long, about 5 minutes. Please go with him. He's got some stuff to give you. The rest of us, let's sing one last song to the Lord.